from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What are your expectations for this NFL season? I mean, there's always a team that shocks us in some way, both good and bad. You know, who shocks us in a good way this year? Who shocks us in a bad way? Is Atlanta really ready for prime time? You know, I mean, Raheem Morris takes over. They go get him a veteran quarterback. They draft a rookie who's certainly capable of playing, but I think they're doing the smart thing here. You know, even if it's 1 year and, you know, and somehow Penix plays next year and Cousins moves to a backup role, it gives Penix a chance to sit and not have the pressure of playing right away. And, you know, that division is up for grabs. You know, I mean, Carolina's got a lot of work to do. Saints are, You know, Tampa's decent, and, you know, the question is, you know, Raheem and Todd Bowles, two, you know, former DBs, let's go. Let's go get it. May the best team win in the NFC South. Maybe it's the Falcons with Kirk Cousins moving there as well. I mean, in the West, can Geno keep repeating what he's doing? You know, how long will Stafford's hip and back hold up for the Rams? You know, can Purdy continue to be what he's been for the 49ers? And can Kyler Murray finally start to make some progress now that he's healthy again and step forward for that franchise? The NFC North is fascinating. We know what Mr. Love and company and Mr. Goff and company could do. And the question is, which one of those other two teams? And maybe it's both. Maybe it's both by the end of the year. I really wish McCarthy would have stayed healthy, you know, and could have played for Minnesota. Obviously, Caleb's going to make a difference in Chicago. They went out. I mean, he's got super talented wide out. They're going to be a pain in the rear end. But can they make enough of a jump each and every week to beat the top two teams in that division? Which one of those teams, Bears or Vikings, step up? Do either one of the Packers or Lions take a step back? You know, it was last year, fool's gold, or is that, you know, an indication of what those teams are going to be able to do going forward? Clearly in the NFC East, you know, Philadelphia and Dallas have the pressure of being the two teams. All eyes are going to be on Mr. Daniels. Clearly New York's a big market. Can Daniel Jones finally prove, can he and Dable, you know, find some common ground? Do they have enough playmakers there? You know, with the addition of Neighbors, obviously Thibodeau, terrific pass rusher. Do they have enough to be a factor, you know, going into the season and bust a grape? AFC West, you know, we know what the Chiefs are. Everybody keeps waiting for the Chargers and Justin Herbert. You know, everybody keeps talking about, well, you got a quarterback, they got a quarterback. Well, they got a quarterback, and they haven't done anything with him. They blew a 27-3 lead in a playoff game with that, or came back in a 27-3 situation and, you know, let a team off the hook. So, you know, obviously he got hurt last year, and, you know, but everybody says you got to have the quarterback. Well, they allegedly have the quarterback. They got the quarterback that everybody said Ron should have taken. And it hasn't exactly proven fruitful yet for the Chargers. We'll see if Mr. Harbaugh can instill some discipline there. Because the one thing, look, I know he's quirky. I know he does some strange things. But Jim Harbaugh doesn't lose many football games. Yeah, I know for a while there they lost a lot to Ohio State. That's one opponent. When he was in the NFL with the 49ers, you know what they did. So Jim doesn't lose a whole lot of football games. Will they make a run? And how much better will the Broncos be this year? You know, preseason and regular season are completely different. Bo Nix, you know, certainly looks the part so far, but obviously got to do it now when the lights come on for real. The AFC South, we know what C.J. Stroud did. Can he do it again? You know, what will he do for an encore? Oh, wait, hey, we're going to go get you. Look, we think we are so good, we're going to go get you Stephon Diggs too. Now, I know there's a part of you that will say, you know, where Stephon goes, there's drama. There's a guy that wants the football. Well, guess what? Wouldn't you want a guy on your team that wants the football, that wants to play? I don't want a guy that shows up, yeah, man, just whatever you throw it to me, I'll catch it. No, I would rather have the guy that wants the football and wants it a lot. And think about, you know, think about what they were able to do with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Remember, they didn't have Tank in the playoffs. A young man from the University of Houston, I saw play a lot in college in person. I mean, you knew he was going to be a great buster in the National Football League. And he proved to be that before the injury last year. Now you add Stephon Diggs to this menu. You've obviously got a great tight end. And you've just added Joe Mixon to from a running back perspective. So there's another team. They're kind of like Atlanta. Houston said, hey, we're gonna keep, not only do we like where we're at, we're going to keep adding to it. We're going to keep adding to it. We're going to add more to this puzzle. Clearly Jacksonville hoping at some point Trevor Lawrence and company can turn this around. Still waiting for that to happen. He and Herbert are kind of in the same deal. Ironically, they played in the one playoff game against each other. But, you know, both teams are waiting for that guy to lift them. But for each franchise, it's more than just that guy. And that's been the problem. It's more than just the quarterback that has been the problem for each one of those franchises. See if Doug Peterson and the Jaguars can challenge the Texans. Look, Titans, you just have to show me. Okay? I need to see it. Good luck, Brian Callahan, trying to make Will Levis a great player. If he turns out to be that, fantastic. I'm just not buying it until I see it. And then, of course, the AFC North. Last year, the best division in football. You know, you look around this division, you have two very proven head coaches, longtime combatants in Harbaugh and Tomlin. You know, Zach Taylor was getting ready to get run out of Cincinnati. Mr. Bro turned that around, made a lot of money for him, gave him a retirement plan. And, you know, right now Stefanski in Cleveland. Look, what they did with Flacco taking over at quarterback last year was miraculous. Could never have imagined that was going to happen. It's a hell of a coaching job by Kevin and his staff. Obviously for Flacco as well there with Cleveland. They re-signed Amari Cooper long-term in the offseason. So, you know, they're set there. Obviously, Njoku was terrific. Waiting on Chubb to get back to full health after getting the knee shredded. So they'll get him back hopefully at some point during the course of the season. But that was the best division in football. By far the most competitive last year. And who wins it? If Burrow stays healthy for a full season, can Baltimore hold them off? Can Baltimore's defense replicate what it did last year? It was amazing. They played superb football. And, you know, can Justin Matabike, who's going to go back to his Nigerian-given name of Nnamdi this year, you know, had a great conversation with him a few weeks ago at training camp, you know, talked about how made a firmer commitment to, you know, his diet and all the other things that you need to really, you know, keep yourself going. He got the big deal. He felt like he, you know, certainly owed it to himself and the organization now to do even more. What can I do to make myself even better now that the organization made a long-term commitment to him? And we'll see if Matabike can duplicate what he gave Baltimore last year, who coming into the season Everybody wanted to know how was Baltimore going to get any pressure on the quarterback, and they eventually led the league in sacks. No one saw that coming at the beginning of last year. And what does Russell Wilson mean for the Steelers? Is there anything left in the tank there? Will it be Fields sooner rather than later? How long can Russell, you know, play this charade of being Russell Wilson, you know? And that's, you know, being Russell Wilson's gotten him, you know, jobs in Denver and now Pittsburgh. But at some point, being Russell Wilson has to go back to being some modicum of Russell Wilson. Then there's the AFC East. Now, you talk about some drama here. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. The Jets have what many, and I am trying to get to where everybody else is on the Jets. Okay? Am I with you defensively on the Jets? Yes. I'm there. Obviously, Sauce is one of the best in the game. That helps. Having what, you know, you can cut field in half now against teams because Gardner's not going to get beat more often than not. When you're only having to defend two-thirds of the field instead of all three-thirds or half, depending. I don't care how you want to divvy it up. You know, now it helps your defense. Question ultimately is, we never got to see what it would look like with Aaron on the offense because, you know, he got hurt, obviously, in the first game last season. You know, is all of this alleged drama involving Rodgers, is it a distraction or will it help them actually win more football games? Remember, when he got hired, Robert Saleh was the one guy we kept hearing at that point. Who's the hot assistant at that time? You know, Saleh was coordinating the defense for the 49ers. Everybody would say, oh, it's Robert Saleh, Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh's going to get all these interviews, yada, yada. You know, he kind of took the mantle that was Eric Bieniemy's. And Robert got the job, and they have had nothing but drama ever since there in New York with the Jets. Will Rodgers stay healthy and help them see this through? It's the biggest, I think it's one of the top five questions coming in to this NFL season, is whether Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and what it will mean for the Jets. Dolphins, obviously with Tua, you know, Mike McDaniel, terrific young coach, great offensive schemes. Defensively, you know, how is this going to shape up for them, you know, this coming season? The Bills, you lose Diggs. What will it mean for Josh Allen and the offense coming up now? And then there's the Patriots. You know, Gerard Mayo takes over. And, you know, obviously he's going to go with a veteran, Brissett. The offensive line's not in great shape, so you don't want to subject the rookie May too early to the wear and tear here. Congratulations to Naval Academy's Joe Cardona, named a captain of that Patriots team today. Their longtime long snapper. But, you know, they are clearly looking up at the other three teams in that division. Which team, which quarterback out of those three teams, you know, plays the most consistent football? I mean, those are three teams where all three quarterbacks could play really good. And you wonder, ultimately, I think it probably comes down, can the Dolphins or Bills defense replicate anything close to what the Jets are going to be defensively? And if the Jets get just some modicum of offense, they might be able to win the division just on that, because that defense could be pretty stout in New York if they keep most of those people healthy for the entire season. And to me, that is the most fascinating division coming up in 2024. That in the NFC North, I think those are the two most fascinating divisions coming into the season, and what is going to transpire in those divisions. Caleb Williams could play great in Chicago. The offense could be great. They still might not make up enough ground on the Packers and Lions to be meaningful, you know, until they get better on the defensive side. It's certainly against, I mean, you can play good games against the Packers and the Lions. Packers and Lions just have people that can score. They've got, you know, targets all over the field that you've got to deal with, speed on the field that you got to deal with. So, you know, Caleb Williams could play very good for the Bears. And how many wins it translates into, we don't know. AFC East, same way. You know, Rodgers has to play better for the Jets offensively to give them a chance. We know the defense will. And Tua and Allen could play well for the Bills, but how good will their defenses be in this upcoming 2024 season? I think the same thing can be said in a lot of places. You like one thing, but you're concerned about another. And certainly coming into this season for the Commanders, we know you're concerned about the offensive line protecting Daniels, and you're worried about the secondary and what kind of plays they will give up potentially during the course of the season. Fascinating questions. It's why we love the NFL. We only get 17 of them, you know, each and every season. So it makes it a great sport. Not like baseball where, you know, if you get off to a bad start, if you go 19-31 to start the year, hey, you got a chance to eventually get it in gear because you play a 162 game schedule. One of our favorites in a little time and need of some prayers. Talk about that coming up next right here on 106.7 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Shout out to the Sanchez down there in beautiful southwestern Virginia. Listening in this evening, my guy Mook Washington listening in as well. Does a hell of a job out there in the grassroots basketball courts. And whenever we're on during basketball season, we always have him. Nobody watches. I'll tell you what, him and Patrick Stevens, the two of them, with all the local basketball they see it more so than everybody. Shout out to my guy Wayne Pratt and the gang over at Team Durant. Wonderful summer for their players. A lot of incredible high-level offers for their guys. Been fun to watch all the different offers that those guys are getting, including Largo's Cam Ward, who had a heck of a season this past year as best public school player in the state of Maryland. One of our own, though, needs some prayers right now. If you listen to the Capitals games, as many of you who follow him on social media, John Walton, you know, last week announcing that obviously he's undergoing treatment right now for colon cancer. And, you know, John is one of the preeminent voices in our area. We live and die with every breath of his during Capitals games. And literally right now he is in a, you know, life and death situation. We need this, you know, surgery to go well, and we need all the prayers we can get for John, the great voice of the Washington Capitals. So make sure whatever God it is you pray to, and even if you don't pray to a God, keep him in your thoughts right now as he continues this fight with colon cancer, so we can hear him back on the microphone as soon as possible with the Capitals, whose season will be here right here before you know it. The quest for Ovi will continue. Capitals have been very aggressive in the offseason, and you hope that some of those moves inject a little more speed, a little more quickness, a little more scoring. Obviously, into this lineup, I saw Troy Marvin ran into Pierre-Luc Dubois, who was over at a Nationals game the other day. And look, I mean, you know, just as we were talking about with Noah Brown, you know, I think the Capitals are hoping that a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, finds a hunger here. There is a good hockey player in Pierre-Luc Dubois, and you're hoping that, you know, being on the ice, being motivated with a guy like Ovechkin and this team, You know, maybe it'll get the best out of Pierre-Luc Dubois right now. Sometimes guys just need to find the right fit. And, you know, that's a player that, you know, ultimately, you know, that you're hoping that this is the right fit for him. Sometimes it's a roll of the roulette wheel with some players. You know, there's a good player there. And sometimes eventually it just clicks, you know. It's like it did eventually, you know, for Geno Smith here with Seattle. You know, the way it eventually clicked for Jim Plunkett with the Raiders. The guy ends up winning two Super Bowls when it looked like his career had no chance of going anywhere. So, I mean, that's the roulette wheel of sports sometimes. And, you know, you're hoping that that kind of move pays off in dividends for the Capitals this coming season. But more importantly, keep John Walton in your thoughts and prayers right now. And, you know, what he and Dave Johnson are doing to do their jobs, which require incredible amount of preparation, exhausting amounts of preparation, especially with Dave doing two sports, doing MLS, and then obviously doing the NBA and fighting, you know, a disease that's trying to defeat you every day. And, you know, watching Dave Johnson just kick it right in the rear end and say, you're not going to beat me today. And being able to do his job still at an incredibly high level. It's just amazing to watch these two men, who obviously I have a great affinity for as a play-by-play person. It's, you know, it's my best life skill. And two guys that I listen to all the time, because listening to them helps me get better. Listening to a Joe B do Caps games on TV, it helps me get better. I mean, that's what it's all about. We listen to other people because we want to get better. We listen to people do this in a good way because we want to get better at it. And, you know, I mean, you take even more respect, you know, these people that, especially Dave doing what he's doing. And obviously, you know, even after surgery, John will probably be able to get back to the booth at some point, but obviously he's going to have some maintenance treatments going on at the same time. And, you know, John holds himself to an incredibly high standard, brings you an incredibly high standard, as you, the fans, know and expect from John. I mean, look, I mean, the Capitals, you know, you look at the Capitals, bar none, with their TV and radio product. I mean, it's hard to beat the quality that the Capitals bring you in both, you know, radio and TV with hockey. With Joe B. and Locker, obviously, on the TV side, John Walton with Ken Sabourin on the radio side. I mean, you know, some teams have one or not the other. The Capitals, you're incredibly lucky to have both. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're incredibly lucky to have Bob Carpenter on the TV side, one of the incredibly nicest people I've ever met in the business of broadcasting. And then obviously, you know, legends and Charlie and Dave on the radio side, who I'm blessed to work with, you know, on the Nationals radio network. They'll be in Miami to start a series with the Marlins coming up tomorrow right here on 106.7 The Fan before heading to Pittsburgh for a weekend series. And, you know, but things like this bring you back to the reality of life. And, you know, when you see what these families go through, think about what the Goudreau family is going through right now. That's something that, you know, in the blink of an eye, life just changes because somebody made an incredibly poor decision, you know, to drive while intoxicated and obviously not with all their faculties. They made a poor decision. And obviously now the Goudreau family, you know, literally the day before their sister's getting ready to get married, what is supposed to be an incredibly exciting and festive time for their family. And they end up, you know, burying a couple of fathers, a couple of brothers, and just two amazing, amazing people. It while these people look like, you know, big gods out on their respective sport, whether it be football or hockey in this case, basketball, whatever it may be, it also snaps about the reality of life. And, you know, just as I tweeted simply that night, you just got to hug your people, man. Every day you get a chance to come home, hug your people. You know, it's not easy to navigate this town right now without, you know, some pitfalls of all the carjackings we're seeing. And it's an incredibly scary time. The fact that you get home every day, you know, hug your people when you get there. Because as we're finding out right now, it's a very difficult time. Each day's never, ever promised to us. And just rejoice in what you have at home and hope that you get home each and every day, that you can spend more time with those people. That's what it's all about right now. And hopefully, you know, John Walton will have a full recovery from this bout with colon cancer right now. We know he's going to fight it. We know he's going to be a great fighter, just like you would expect from a hockey player out there. And obviously, we wish John the very best and can't wait to hear him back on the radio as the season gets underway. Of course, all your Capitals games you can hear right here on 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to my guy, Ross Rutter. He would know more than anyone. Man's been battling some health issues, lost his wife as well. He would know indeed what it means to go home and hug your people, hug those two kids that he has each and every night. He also sent me a comment about the NFC or the AFC North, and he's right. I mean, Baltimore lost some key pieces. Patrick Queen, obviously, with Pittsburgh inside the division. Geno Stone inside the division up there with Cincinnati. I think those are two... I think those are two interesting players to watch. I like Geno a lot. I think he'll play well for the Bengals. Queen without Smith. Look, Queen without Smith in his career, you know, was a guy that, you know, they had, you know, were waiting for the light bulb to go on for him. Took him a little while. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, ultimately that's, you know, you got to play good football on an every down basis. Clearly Tomlin's a good coach. So I expect that to go well for Queen up there in Pittsburgh. And like I said, I think Geno Stone will do fine with Cincinnati. You know, when you look at what Baltimore has replacing him, I think Trenton Simpson has done obviously well there in preseason. He's played extremely good football. I think he'll be fine next to Roquan Smith. And, I mean, at least for now, knock on wood, the Ravens are healthy in that secondary. Marcus and Hamilton up again with each other in that secondary, and obviously Marlon Humphrey back from injury from last year to play with Brandon Stevens on the corner. But ultimately, you know, for both Marcus and Humphrey, they got to prove to stay healthy. They need the football gods to cooperate with them as well coming up here in the 2024 season. Got to talk about something my guy Chris Carlheim brought to my attention today. You know, we're in that type of year now where – you know, and for years, Wawa would put pumpkin spice on the number 6 selection on that coffee machine where you just go bang the button and you drink the coffee and you get pumpkin spice. Obviously, you know, my daughter's already buying pumpkin spice from Dunkin'. You know, it's that time of the year. But as my guy, Mr. Wonderful, would ask, if you have a product that has great sales receipts, that sells really well, why wouldn't you sell it year-round? Do you think people just go into this, oh, I can only drink pumpkin-flavored drinks between September and December? No. We love this stuff now. You know, I love pumpkin pie. You know, I'll drink anything that's pumpkin something as long as it's decent tasting. So why do we just limit our pumpkin intake from September to December? Do receipts tell us that people don't buy it from January through August? I mean, the lines at Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks now are, you know, everywhere you go, there's 10 cars in a line usually somewhere. So do you think somebody's not going to buy? I mean, do you think somebody's going to flip the calendar? Oh, it's January. I can't drink pumpkin anymore. So if something sells so well, and I know we market it that way, and that's, again, I can come on the radio. Everybody else on this radio station, come on the radio. If we tell you enough times that something is really good, you're going to go try it. And if you like it, you're going to keep buying it. You're going to tell the Junks, oh, Junks, heard you talking about that. You know, this is great. You know, you go to Mike Walker at BMW, you buy a BMW because EB tells you, you know, look, I've had great success with my BMWs here with Mike Walker. You know, and you go do it. I just like with me and Offenbacher's. You know, I tell you enough, Offenbacher's is a great place. You finally go try it for yourself. Oh, Pete, you know, I love it. I went to Offenbacher's. You know, I had a great, got outdoor furniture, got a hot tub. It was fantastic. You know, just like we talk about sports. Sometimes we will you into thinking certain things, okay? Some people on this radio station were trying to will the Commanders into taking Drake May over Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to be okay, right? Just because they didn't take Drake May doesn't mean Jaden Daniels can't be a really good player. So if we tell you that a product is really, really good and you hear it enough, word of mouth is the greatest sales tool. It's the greatest marketing thing. You know, if Bob in accounting tells you, oh, yeah, I went to Dunkin' the other day and I got pumpkin. This my daughter got some kind of pumpkin thing. And you know how they list all the ingredients on the side of the cup? I'm telling you, this thing had six. I'm pretty sure it was five or six things on the side of the cup. Now, I had a sip of it. It was really good. Okay. I inhale pumpkin flavored stuff. I love it. Okay. So I'm saying to you, Wawa, I'm saying to you, Dunkin', okay, let's keep the pumpkin stuff in the year-round rotation. Let's not just make it a seasonal thing. Because the last time I checked, your CEO wants you to have the most receipts at the end of the day. So if something is popular and sells well, let's do it all the time. Let's make it part of the arsenal all the time. You know, let's not just make it a seasonal thing. Or am I wrong for thinking that? Am I wrong for thinking that, oh, they just do it seasonally because nobody will drink it from January to August because it's a mental thing? People tell you, oh, you have to shut off your joy for pumpkin, you know, at that time of the year. If the receipts are so good from September through December, why don't we keep it all the time? It doesn't have to be a seasonal thing, right? Just because we roll pumpkins out for Halloween and stuff like that. You know, let's do it all the time. We still eat pumpkin pie, you know, in other times of the year, right? You can go to the store and buy pumpkin pie at any time. Give you a chance to buy that pumpkin beverage, you know, that at any time. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, if you like something, if it sells for you, let's sell it all the time. We're trying to make money here. I'm from the Mr. Wonderful camp. I'm about money. You know, if it's something that's going to sell for us, let's make money. Saw the other day, you know, Sean Taylor jerseys on sale that have the Redskins logo over top of the 21. Okay, those things are going to sell like hotcakes. But it's kind of interesting. And, you know, maybe on a bye week show or something like that, saw one of the local reporters suggest naming it Sean Taylor Field. It is what Northwest Stadium right now. Any field being named after anyone not named Joe Jackson Gibbs because he won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks and brought us the greatest days this franchise has seen since Sammy Ball was playing, you know, in the 40s, you know? I mean, I don't know about you, but if we're going to name something after somebody, as great as Sean was as an individual talent, and finally, this organization is going to finally, and kudos to Josh and the rest of the management team for rectifying this thing with that dumbass wire mannequin that they, you know, set up on the concourse. I mean, please, what the hell was that? Doc Walker said it best, because Doc's part of those Super Bowl teams with Coach Gibbs. He's part of the greatest standard this team had ever seen. Said he's never been more embarrassed, you know, in seeing that, okay? Doc bleeds burgundy and gold, all right? Those guys, Doc and Daryl and all those guys, they bleed burgundy and gold. I'm not sure they've ever been more embarrassed in their lives for this franchise to be affiliated with it when they rolled that out. Finally, though, they're finally going to do something about it, thank goodness. But if they're going to name a field after somebody, that field needs to be named after Joe Gibbs. Because that guy is the one responsible. Yes, Bobby Bethard, too, from an administrative standpoint. Certainly Mr. Cook. You know, if they somehow stay in Landover, you know, where Mr. Cook built the stadium. You know, you could make an argument for Mr. Cook. But if we're going to name it after somebody, that list starts and possibly stops with Joe Gibbs, because he brought us the greatest days this franchise had ever seen. And I would encourage you, for those of you not young enough, or I should say not old enough, to have experienced those days like a lot of us did growing up, I would encourage you to get on YouTube and look up some of those games. Look up the 1982 NFL season. Look at the 1987 season. Look at the 1991 season. You know, when Joe Gibbs led this team to championships. And if you have any question about the who's responsible for the greatest days this franchise has ever seen, If you don't agree that it's Joe Jackson Gibbs and what he did as the head coach of this group, winning Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, none of which, you know, will end up, you know, would be considered NFL Hall of Famers. It's a shame that Doug experienced some injuries along the way. And, you know, if he'd have started out with a better deal in Tampa, Doug physically could have played this game to a Hall of Fame level. I believe physically Doug Williams had those skills. The path that he had to take to get back to Washington was a little unconventional. He could have certainly jumped off the train at any point. But Doug saw an opportunity here with Coach Gibbs, who talked him into it. And daggone it, if those guys didn't win a Super Bowl together, and obviously in historic fashion, because of what we know, what it meant, and as Sam Huff, the late great Sam Huff, said with Frank Herzog and Sonny Jurgensen on that broadcast, you know, you hoped at that point it would put to rest all of the criticism of the African-American athlete at that position of quarterback, because Doug gave us as great an exhibition and showed some toughness, man. When he twisted down, he could have come out of the ball game. But we knew they weren't going to win if Jay Schrader had to play in that game. And I think Doug knew it too. And he went back in that game and showed a lot of courage. And with Coach Gibbs, brought Washington another Super Bowl. Come back and wrap things up here on a Monday night Labor Day show with you till 9 right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Take care of some miscellaneous news and notes here. Chris and I were talking about this in the break. It was Jack Kent Cooke Stadium for 2 years before Mr. Snyder got FedEx to jump on board for that longtime sponsorship. Of course, now Northwest Stadium is Josh and his ownership group make a new deal. Obviously, where that stadium will be, you know, say around 2030, still remains to be seen. We'll see if it – I still say it's going to end up on the site of where it's at. That's my prediction right now, unless they go out to Northern Virginia. Because as Eleanor Holmes Norton would tell you in D.C., can't build out, you can build up. And unless they do something on that RFK site, I just don't know where else you would put it at this point. You know, thoughts and prayers with Ricky Pearsall. You know, we talk about how stupid the world is now. He's going to be out at least 4 games after, oh, by the way, he got shot, just like Brian Robinson did. Robbery attempt. Fortunately, bullet passed through, didn't hit any major organs or arteries for the 49ers wide receiver. Obviously, though, needs time as much as physically, if not mentally, to recover from that. And, I mean, just the world's a terrible place right now. It really is. You know, we need to pray for each other every day out there. You know, when you look at, you know, what the Nationals have done here of late, all these young players coming up, we're getting a glimpse of what the future is going to be. Obviously, Wood and Cruz early have looked the part. You know, obviously, we've got a much more of a sample size on James, a local product out of St. John's and Montgomery County as well. Shout out to my guy Drew Lohman and the gang at St. John's. Do a heck of a job over there with their baseball program. They've had an amazing amount of talent come through there. And obviously, James finished up down at IMG. You know, those of us that watched his dad, you know, play basketball, mom is such a huge supporter of his. We see her interacting with Grant when Grant puts up the graphic all the time. James saw 5 balls during the at-bat. He struck out looking. and look, I know we talk about it. I've umpired for 35 years. Well, 30, let's see, how old am I now? This will be 56 minus 16. I got 38 years umpiring. Okay, and even I, as much as I love it, I would love to see the automated strike zone at the big league level because we are seeing way too many pitchers lose strikes that are called balls and hitters that lose balls that are called strikes. We've got a number of umpires that are struggling behind home plate. Laz Diaz, C.B. Buckner, who's rated last in the league, John Tumpane should never umpire behind home plate ever again in a Major League Baseball game. He's terrible. He has a quick trigger to throwing people out when they call him out on it. You know, Major League Baseball's got a problem. These are the best umpires in the world, and the plate's 17 inches. And a lot of nights with some of these guys, not only is it 19 inches wide, but the inability to see the low pitch anymore, and they're just guessing at the low pitch now, puts hitters in really bad spots. You got a good pitcher that can sink the ball. If you're going to give him an extra inch or two down, hitters are going to have a tough night. They just are. And it took me a while to come around on it, but I do believe a batter should be able to challenge a pitch now. We've got the incredible Cyclops technology they have in tennis that gets us, you know, the answer literally in 5 seconds. And I think Major League Baseball can go that route. I'll take the human element. We can leave the human element in there. But if a hitter and or manager feel that their batter's been egregious, you know, at the plate, I do believe there's a certain amount of challenges that they should have. I'm not saying they get the ability to challenge every pitch, and if you win, you keep your challenge. But there should be opportunities for hitters and pitchers, if they want, to challenge the balls and strike calls, because we've never had as many umpires right now struggling to call balls and strikes as we do in Major League Baseball. Replay at times, I'd love to go inside the replay center. Show me why, you know, a guy is out when it sure as heck looks like he's safe, and we don't reverse a call that the entire world sees on the Jumbotron in a stadium where the guy looks safe as can be or out as can be, and that's not the call coming from the replay center, because that process needs to be a little more open, transparent, whatever word you want to use. That needs to happen as well. So I'd like to see a little more of that. By the way, when you don't bring in winning players to your program, you're going to struggle. Florida State, which had the debacle in Ireland with Georgia Tech, shout out to Brent Key and the Yellow Jackets, doing a great job there in Ireland. They're now 2-0 with their win over the weekend. Well, Boston College, new coach and all, rolling into Florida State, and right now leads 14-3 with 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. I love Mike Norvell. I know Mike Norvell. Had many a conversation with Mike Norvell one-on-one at the table at American Athletic Conference Media Days when he was at Memphis. But they made a mistake. If I could have been part of the personnel department and when they decided to commit to DJ Uiagalelei, I would have said, Mike, that guy's not a winning player. He's not going to get you where you need to go. And it's going to be pretty apparent after two games, if they go on to lose this game, that he's not the guy. And I could have told you that ahead of time based on his track record at two different places. I mean, he's okay. He's good enough to get you 6 or 7, but he's not good enough to get you a national championship. And, you know, Florida State took that risk. And right now, through 6 quarters, they'd probably like to have that back a little bit here. It's not just him, though. I mean, they lost incredible, amount of wide receivers. Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson on the outside. That hurt them, too. And I don't think we, you know, realize just how good of a leader Jordan Travis was for that Florida State team before he got hurt. He was sensational for them as well. U.S. Open, things continuing there throughout the week. Many of you, if you have DirecTV, unfortunately not seeing a lot of it right now as a result of the, ESPN DirecTV conflict. You know, shout out to Francis Tiafoe, and shout out to the American tennis players as a whole. I mean, both men's and women's side, Emma Navarro the other day beating Coco Gauff. I mean, this is as good a time for American tennis on both sides as we've seen in quite some time. So I'm excited about that, excited about seeing if some of these players can see it through. You know, with Djokovic being out there as well, I mean, the door is wide open for them. And we'll see if that can continue at the U.S. Open. Should be a great, great week there. Shout out to my girl, Kagan Cooper. Going to commit to Shenandoah. Thanks to my guy, Kevin Schaefer, hardest working man in both firefighting and softball coaching. Recently hired over at George Mason, but he was on the Shenandoah staff. Made that introduction on my behalf, and she's going to go there and hit bombs for Shenandoah. And congratulations to Kevin, who's going to be on the staff now at George Mason University and do great, great things for that Patriots program on the softball side. Our thanks to Chris for all the hard work tonight. That's going to do it for us. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the start of the NFL season. We've made it, gang. It's here. 17 tasty ones coming up. Pete Medhurst with you. It's been a pleasure over the last 3 hours right here on your station in D.C. for sports. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.